So at this point, I want to invite Sir Reggie Coleman to come preach the word.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Chidia. Thank you, Chidia, for that gracious introduction. I so grateful to be here. I didn't know what all Chidia was going to share. Like I said, we've been knowing each other for about 9 years, and you know somebody from 9 years, they know the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I can say this, when we met, the feeling was mutual, that he thought it was a little weird, I thought it was a little weird too. And so the feeling was mutual, my brother, on all levels. We're so grateful to be here, and grateful that Ann got a chance to share, because typically what happens when people meet my wife, they tend to like me better. So I'm grateful that she was able to share, and you guys meet her first. So hopefully I don't get in the way of the word of God in any way. But we're so grateful to have spent the time with the Edge Ministry last night. You guys have an amazing group of singles in this church. And there is a life after campus ministry. And the singles ministry is something that you can look forward to. It is the place to be. And hopefully you feel that way about your campus ministry and your marriage, that it's the place to be.
Come on.
Because God is there, right? Amen. If God is there, it is the place to be, and God wants to continue to work in amazing ways. You can open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. And I'm so grateful to be here. And I know you guys know this, but you all have some incredible leaders with the grosses. They opened up the home, their home to us, and we got a chance to spend time with them and get to know them. And they're such an incredible couple. You guys know this, of course, but I just wanted to communicate this, my gratitude for them. And I hope you all do communicate gratitude to everybody but your leaders, people who serve you, because sometimes we can have a hidden gratitude where we're grateful, but we don't express it. And it's oftentimes it's too late, and we look back and we say, well, I wish I would have said this, but take the time now to share those things. And so we're so grateful to be here. Over the holidays, I was getting lunch with a friend of mine's, and we was just talking about life, and he was sharing that I was getting some advice about growing in my relationship with God, thinking about the upcoming year. And then he was sharing this, something that he does is just he does repetitive reading in the Bible. And so he just camps out on a book and just reads it. And so I've been studying out the book of Ephesians for the past month, just reading it over practically every day for the last month. And it's been life changing, because one of the things I realized is that we have a culture where we're always looking for something new. Yeah. You're going on Facebook, it's a status and a new status, and you gotta scroll up because of the new, scroll back down because of the new status before you get a chance to read it, and it refreshes, and there's a new tweet. There's so much new stuff. And so sometimes it's good just to camp out on the Word of God and just read it and meditate on the Word of God. And I have a lot of things that insight that I want to share. So Chidia said I had about 2 hours today, but I decided to go only 20. It's 20 minutes today. But the biggest thing I learned is that the church is presently sitting on the greatest source of power the world has ever known.
Come on.
Do you realize that the church is sitting on the greatest power that the world has ever known, and that is the Spirit-filled follower of Jesus. Amen. And my goal this morning is for us to embrace that in ways that we have never have. And my title of my message is His Incomparable Power. I just have 2 points today. Is that point number one is going to be, we have the power to overcome. Amen. And point number two is going to be, we need to develop a bias towards action. Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 15.
Come on, bro.
Actually, let's go to Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 15. It says, For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ and the glorious Father may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope of which he called you, the riches of God's glorious inheritance, his holy people, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. The power is the same as his mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the hand of the heavenly realms. You know, in chapter 1, Paul writes about just our spiritual blessing in Christ, how God has invested so much in us. If you take time and think about your life, just the resources that you have, you know, God is entrusting us with things, our jobs, to have the education. When we think about on a global spectrum of being in the world, that God has entrusted us with so much. And one thing here that Paul prays is that relentlessly, he said he can't stop asking God that they may have a spirit of wisdom so they may know God better. Mm-hmm. You know, I need people in my life like that who will pray for me to know God better. And we think about our prayers for each other. Our prayers, is it about knowing God better? Because that is the source of our power, our strength, is knowing God better. You know, I learned about knowing God better, relationship with God. As you know, it has to be deliberate. You know, growing our relationship with God, as we know, is not anything that's just going to happen by chance, yeah, by circumstance, that we have to be deliberate in our relationship with God. Amen. You know, one of my go-to Psalms is Psalms 18. And I love that, how it starts off. It says, I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. The God is my rock whom I take refuge. He is my shield and my horn of salvation. He is my stronghold. You know, do we feel that way about our relationship with God, that that's who we're going to run to, is, and that's who we cling to, is God? You know, as you read, you know, Paul talks about the incomparable great power for us who believe, and he compares that power to the same way that, you know, Jesus was raised from the dead. That's the same power that we have access to. So we have the power to overcome. And that's important that we embrace that, because life has its challenges.
Yeah.
You know, that we have the power within us as disciples and followers of Jesus to overcome.
Yep.
You know, I don't know about you, but I love superhero movies.
Oh, yeah.
This year is a big year for superhero movies. And it's I don't know about you, but it's something that fires me up about just a superhero movie coming out.
Okay.
You know, I remember seeing a preview for Ant-Man, you know, and I have no idea what Ant-Man's about, but I'm like, I gotta go see Ant-Man. And all my friends about, let's go see Ant-Man when it comes out. And we're saying, what is it about? I don't know. Let's just go see it. It's gonna be awesome. But I think it's the idea of a larger in life, somebody being a larger life version of themselves. Someone truly heroic is fascinating to us. You know, heroes actually can be part of our psyche. And these stories are so compelling to us because deep in our hearts, we know that we're destined for greatness, mm-hmm, that we have the image of God within us.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And we know that's why it yearns that we said, I know I'm meant for be something more. And that's why we can be discontent sometimes, because when we're not giving our best, when we're not living according to our values, because we know that God has called us to be so much more. And we have, he given us, investing us in a way so we can be able to change the world for the better.
Amen.
You know, five times in the book of Ephesians, he reminds us about the power, just in different ways. You know, I grew up going to the church, and all my life I went to church every Sunday. And similar to what my wife says, is I didn't experience or really see any power, any change in my life. And I remember going to church vividly vividly today and saying, man, there has to be more than life than just this. You know, the pastor was preaching. It's one of those ways you can step back and say, man, is this it? You know, and so as a campus student, once I got my license, I was actually on Wednesday nights just going looking for churches Wednesday nights. You know, I would just go and looking for places. I was like, man, there's no power, there's no energy, people aren't committed. And then I was actually looking to get baptized. You know, I was looking for a place to get baptized. And one thing my mom told me, she did say, we didn't know what baptism was all about, but she did say, you know, make sure you go to the church you want to believe in before you get baptized. So I never got baptized. And then that first Sunday, I was invited out to a church, and I saw a baptism that Sunday. I said, this is it. And I went to the minister. I said, hey, I want to get baptized. And then he said, well, hold your horses there. You know, that's good, but, you know, it'd be good if you study the Bible. Amen. And so I started studying the Bible. I started learning about Jesus, and Mark 1:14 changed my life. Amen. And that's when he says, you know, Jesus says, come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Right. And that was it for me. It was purpose. That's what I was looking for. It was a mission. It was being part of something greater than myself.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know, and it was great just watching the Bible and the brothers helping me to really mold and transform my character, to overcome those insecurities, to overcome the sin, the immorality, the lust, the jealousy, you know, the pride, just seeing me overcome all those things in my character.
Amen.
And it's been amazing. And over these years, still today, there's things that to overcome in my life, but I'm grateful to know that God has that power. That I have that power that God wants in my life, has in my life to help me change.
Amen.
You know, one of the biggest differences when I think about my life that was made is when I started making goals, because, you know, this is the time of year that, you know, most of us are still thinking about goals, you know, as for the new year. One of the biggest differences that happened in my life when I stopped making goals based on where I wanted to be or I wanted to have, but who I wanted to become.
Amen.
That was the biggest difference, to see, like, who do I want to become? And I started thinking about, you know, what ways that can I become more and more like Jesus? Because if I become more and more like Jesus, guess what? Those things will happen. Mm-hmm. I will get to ultimately where God wants me to be. I'll achieve those things from excellence if I strive to be more and more like Jesus. And Jesus was an overcomer. He overcame death. You know, in Revelations, as we know, you know, there's many admonitions and encouragement that he who overcomes, you know, he gives the right to sit to his left and right hand.
Amen.
And Jesus did not let obstacles get in his way.
Amen.
You know, Jesus had a great prayer life.
Right.
You know, we look like Jesus, he was able to tap into the power of God and stay connected in his life. You know, at the end of last year, we started to study out a book called The Autopsy of a Dead Church. And it's a great book, and I recommend it. And basically, the premise of the book is the author, he interviewed 14 churches that died. You know, as people die, humans, you know, they do an autopsy. So he interviewed 14 churches that died, and he figured out, okay, why did this church die? And so it's a whole book about those things. And one of the key things, and one of the chapters was like an indicator of why the church died, because the church stopped praying together.
Wow.
That's one of the key things, is why they died. And then it went further about how, you know, that they prayed, of course, when they was at church, you know, someone did the opening prayer, of course, and they had meals, a devotional, they prayed. But as far as meaningful prayer, they stopped praying together. That was the underlying indicator of all the churches. So it's on a relationship level, they stopped praying together and from with one another. So the good questions for us is, how is our prayer life? How is our prayer life with one another? You know, Chidya inspired me for so many reasons, because typically when I get off the phone with him, he says, bro, let's pray. You know, he really wants to go to God with it in prayer. And that has challenged me, that has called me higher, just to pray right then on the moment, because a lot of times we will say, hey, I'll pray for you, but we don't really pray, right? Amen. And I believe that's two of the biggest lies Christians can tell is, one is, I'm doing fine, right? And two is, I'll pray for you, you know? Because that prayer is so important that we pray for one another. Let's continue reading in chapter 2 in verse 1.
Come on, bro.
It says, as for you, you are dead in your transgressions and sins in which you live when you followed the ways of this world and the rulers of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following the desires of and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving wrath, but because of his great love for us, who is rich love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even though we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up in Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms of Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in the kindness and in us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift from God, not by works, so that no man can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. Point number two is, we must develop a bias towards action.
Come on.
Okay. It's a great reminder about, I love this passage, because as I was meditating on this passage, it's just amazing to think about where I came from. That I was dead in my sins. You know, that there was no life, there was no power. And I'm very grateful for what God has done in my life. You know, gratitude is a powerful motivator. Mm-hmm. You know, gratitude is a very powerful motivator just to be able to be grateful for where you're at. And that's actually one of the key indicators and key techniques when it comes to performance and excelling, is being very grateful for where you're at right now. Because if you're grateful for where you're at right now, then you'll be able to be in awe of God and be able to move forward in that way and give God the glory.
Come on.
You know, it says that we are God's handiwork, that we're God's masterpiece. You know, do you see yourself in that way? Uh-huh. That you're God's masterpiece, that God has created us to do good works, where he has prepared in advance for us to do. You know, Christians in America, we can become experts in convictions, but failures in some sense when it comes to action.
Really?
You know, sometimes when we get stuck in our relationship with God, and we don't know what to do, the best thing to do is just to do something.
Yep.
And just to move forward. And oftentimes the worst we can do is nothing. And as we know, James chapter 1, it says, do not be hearers of the word, but be doers. Don't just listen to the word and deceive ourselves, but do it. You know, I heard about an article a few months ago that talked about the most overweight people. It just did another study about the most overweight people on the earth and that we have. And it said that at some point they lost the ability to walk. Mm-hmm. And eventually they were bedridden and they had to depend on others to feed them because they couldn't feed themselves. And in the same way, basically they lost their ability for action, to get out and do exercise. And that's how it can be in church, how we can get just spiritually fed, and we don't when we don't do, when we don't put the things that we hear in practice, we can get spiritually sluggish in that way if we don't put the things we hear in practice. Because think about it, we have a lot of access to the Word of God. You know, we have Sundays, we have midweek, we have Bible talks, we have devos, we have studies. There's a lot of scriptures that we have, which is great, but the biggest need of the hour is to act on those things. It's for put action to put those things in the practice and to basically to work off the things that we've already consumed in that way. And it's amazing, as we know, that being a Christian and following God is and should be an adventure.
Yeah.
That, you know, it says that God has prepared things in advance for us to do. You know, when we think about that, like, you know, you wake up in the morning and say, wow, what does God have in store for me today? You know, that should be how our walk with God is when we remember that way. But oftentimes, when I think about my life, I've been paralyzed by fear.
Right.
You know, I've been paralyzed by making mistakes, if I try things new. Mm-hmm. You know, I was thinking about the first Bible talk I led. Mm-hmm. And I led it on a day that I didn't know I was going to lead it. So what happened was, you know, we had two Bible talks, one in the daytime and one at night. And I worked at night, so I went to the daytime one. And so long story short, I worked at about 5 minutes from the campus. And so long story short, the brother, he was actually the ministry leader who was supposed to lead it, because he led the nighttime and he was training me, you know, to lead the daytime. You know, he basically got in a car in the flat or something like that, basically couldn't make Bible talk. It was about like at the last minute. So he says, hey, Tereji, we're in a bind. Could you go lead this Bible talk? And I was at work, you know? And so I said, you know, you have those moments of clarity where you have, okay, should I say yes or I say no? And so I said, I'll do it. And I got on the phone. I said, wait, I'm at work. You know, how am I going to do it? So what I did is I said to my my coworker, I said, I'll be back. Yeah, I wouldn't advise this. Okay, don't do this. But this is what I did. I said, I'll be back. You know, and so I clocked out and everything. Okay, so, amen. don't try this at home, my man. So I said, I'll be back. You know, so I got in my car. I played my hero music in my mind, and I was driving up to campus, and I did the Bible talk, and went. Okay, you mean it went great. I didn't do the best of job because my first time I made mistakes. Yeah, but I look back on that, I was like, hey man, I took a risk.
Yeah.
You know, that built my faith. Mm-hmm. I kept my job, amen.
Yeah.
So don't try it at home. It may not work out the same way for you, but I look back on that, I was like, man, that was great. You know, I was able to do this risk, and I know we have instances like that in our own lives where there's opportunities that we can take, risks that we can take for our own lives, our own faith. Go for it. You know, you never know how God will work, and you can look back on your life, and those times will build our faith.
Amen.
You know, maybe we're stuck because of we're consumed by the things of this world. Maybe we're stuck because of that. You know, it's very, you know, tempting, of course, once you get out of college and you got, you know, real bills and responsibilities, and you know, maybe you have kids or you have grandkids, and you got to start planning for retirement, and you know, you got to work on this fund, this mutual fund. You know, it's easy to get consumed with those things. Not to say we don't need to give those things attention, because they're good things to do, but that can consume our lives if we're not careful. You know, it says that Jesus says, you know, the worries of this life and desire for other things will choke the word.
That's right.
And make it unfruitful.
Okay.
So if you're not experiencing the fruit of God in your life in its various forms, you have to ask yourself, are the worries of this life choking the word and making it unfruitful? Or maybe it's just disappointment in our life. Maybe some disheartenment. You know, maybe you're in a place where you thought you'd been married by now, or this relationship would have worked out. You know, maybe there's disappointment. You know, my wife said something a couple weeks ago that was very profound and encouraging to me. That she said that, you know, there's basically three responses to our prayers. Either is those responses yes, not yet, or God says, I have something better planned. Mm-hmm. And that's the way, I think that was encouraging for me to see, like, it's sometimes it's no, but it's a no because God has something better planned.
Amen.
And that's encouraging to think how we think of God that way, that he's with us, he's for us, he has something better planned. And something I resolved is no matter what, whatever doesn't kill me is going to make me better. Amen. That I will learn from my mistakes, I will learn from disappointments, I will learn from my setback, and you know what? I will be a better man because of that.
Amen.
Because God is on my side.
Amen.
You know, one of the other indicators of one of the dying churches in that book, The Autopsy of a Dead Church, is they died because the Great Commission became the Great Omission.
Wow.
That they stopped focusing on the Great Commission. And a quote in the book, it says, thriving churches have the Great Commission at the centerpiece of their vision, while dying churches have forgotten the clear command. And so it talks about how in a lot of these churches, it was slow erosion, that, you know, that it didn't happen overnight, that gradually these things happen. You know, they didn't wake up one day and say, hey, okay, let's stop evangelizing. You know, that didn't happen. But gradually, over time, the members of the church, us, stopped having that priority in our lives. And in your personal life, is the great, you know, seeking, saving life, helping others become Christian, is it in a centerpiece of your life personally, is to do whatever it takes, has it depend on you to help others to know God? Because as we know in Matthew 28, you know, Jesus said that he's with us always to the very end of the age.
Come on.
That God is with us. He is on our side. He wants to continue to do great things through us and for us. And we're so grateful to be able to, my wife and I, be able to spend this time with you all, to, you know, basically to learn from you all, from great fellowship together. And we look forward to just the hearing the great victories that God will continue to do this year through this church and through his ministry. So thank you guys for allowing me to be here. To God be the glory.